Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Today, as we kind of begin our conversation about this time of consecration. So let's read this together. Joel chapter 2, verses 2 through 17. Let's all read together. Ready, gang? Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him? A grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the people, where is their God? All right, so an interesting portion of scripture here that I kind of want to take as we discuss what it means for the next several weeks, in fact, leading up to Holy Week, as a church together, we're going to have a time of intentionally really pressing into God. And we're starting this journey. So today I want to talk about this call to fasting and prayer. And talk a little bit about this, because it really gets a bad rap. And I have to be honest that sometimes in my youthful zeal, beginning to serve the Lord, there were times I did some really stupid things. Sometimes my wife would say, I still do some stupid things. But we would have a lot of fasts. Thanks for laughing there, Tim Belford. I appreciate, I saw your chuckle there. Thanks for holding it together. In my youthful zeal, sometimes we would have three, 5, or 7 day fasts quite a bit. And we'd, this is how we'd handle it. Prior to the fast, we'd go out to an all-you-could-eat buffet. Our buffet of choice was usually Godfather's Pizza, and we would just load up, and then at the end of the fast, we'd go back to some all-you-could-eat buffet and eat as much as we could. And after some time, one of my mentors pulled me aside and said, you realize that you're sandwiching, pardon the pun, you're sandwiching your fasting in between gluttony. And you're acting like it's kind of like this. It's kind of like this. A priest was coming back to his rectory one evening, and it was in the dark, and he was accosted by a robber who pulled out a gun and said, your money or your life. And so the priest reached into his pocket to get his wallet, and it revealed his Roman collar. And the robber saw the Roman collar and said, oh, Father, please, I didn't realize that you were a priest. You can just go on your way. And the priest was so moved by the generosity of the robber that he reached into his pocket and found a candy bar and gave it to the robber. And the robber said, no, thank you, Father. I don't eat during Lent. Sweets. Robbery's okay, but we're not going to have sweets during Lent. Yeah. So that's the point. You know, right off the bat, we have so much confusion that goes along with taking a time of intentional fasting and prayer. So on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, we as a church are going to begin a journey together, this journey together. And what I don't want it to become is a time of legalism. So many times that I recognize it, kind of my understanding was that I had a really poor understanding of what prayer and fasting and what consecration was all about. And so I kind of want to, you know, talk to you a little bit about some of my frustrations on my journey, and maybe help us, because I think there's a lot of times, as I've even spoken with members within the church, who are like, you know, I've had frustrating times around this understanding of what prayer and fasting is, and sometimes it becomes a chore. And so, look, a couple thoughts for us today. And thought number one is this: fasting is not about what you give up. So many people focus on what you give up during a consecration, during a time of consecration, during a time of prayer. And the focus should never be on what you are denying yourself. It should be solely upon drawing near to God. And that's what it's about. It's not about denying yourself a sweet, or it's not about denying yourself something that you enjoy or an activity that you enjoy. It's not about what you give up. And too many times when we enter a period, Satan likes to make us focus on that. You know, I can remember, you know, early times of taking part in things without much understanding of what was going on. It was like, I just felt, oh, I'm so hungry. Oh, I'm so thirsty. Oh, I'm so whatever it is. I just long to be able to do this thing that I said, you know, I'm not going to watch TV. Oh, I long to go to the movies. Oh, whatever it is, the focus shouldn't be on what you give up. In fact, Job has a pretty interesting verse here in Job 23:12. A very, very a good thought for us as we enter this time. It's, I have treasured, this is what Job says, I have treasured the words of his mouth, talking to God, more than my portion of food. Now, he's talking about food, and he's saying, I'm focusing on the words of God. I'm focusing on this communication, on the things that God has spoken to me. That's what I'm treasuring. I'm focusing upon it. I'm esteeming it, another translation says. I'm treasuring these words more than something else. And he's saying his portion of food. You see, Job is basically saying, look, God, I'm choosing right now to place a higher value upon connecting with you. In other words, Jesus, he's telling him, I need you. Now, I got a question. As individuals, as people within our church, as church family members, as people within our community, as Pike Countyans, as citizens of the great state of Illinois, and as United States citizens, and as global citizens, do you need God? Do you think that maybe it's, you know, in many ways it's kind of turned up a notch or two? We really need God. And so we are prioritizing a connecting with God. We're prioritizing a seeking of God. Now, in biblical times, fasting most always was about food. But there are some examples here. All throughout Scripture, from Old Testament to New Testament, there are many individuals who fasted. Moses fasted, Hannah fasted, King David fasted, Elijah fasted, Ezra fasted, Nehemiah fasted, Daniel fasted, Jesus fasted, Paul fasted, the apostles fasted, early church fathers fasted. We find these things. And in biblical, some of the examples of fasting that we read were many times prior to engaging in God's service, like Nehemiah. Nehemiah was getting ready to go back to Jerusalem to take up this project of rebuilding the wall. And before he even goes, he takes a time of fasting and prayer. In times of crisis, remember the story with Esther. And Esther realized in this massive time of crisis, understanding that God, her, she was in this kingdom for such a time as this, she fasts in the midst of a crisis. She decides, I'm going to give something up to connect with God, to go before God, to petition God. Times of repentance, all throughout Scripture, in times of repentance, we see individuals realizing that they have messed up. King David is a great example of this. He realizes the depth of his sin. He realizes that Slewfoot has tricked him. And so what does he do? He tries to disconnect from some things of the world and value the Word of God. We see Jesus, prior to his ministry, going on this journey where he goes to the wilderness and he fasts. So does that mean that then fasting is somehow a way that we get away? No, no, no. Which brings me to my second point. First point again is fasting is not about what you give up. It's not the focus on fasting. Shouldn't be the social media. Shouldn't be a meal. Shouldn't be sweets. Shouldn't be something you do. That's not the focus. The focus is not what you give up. The second point is this. Fasting is not forcing. Fasting is not forcing. And this is two different ways. First of all, there is no command in Scripture where it says, thou shalt fast. Okay? We're not talking, you know, one of the Ten Commandments that says this. But what we do read, like, look at Matthew chapter 6, and then Matthew chapter 16. And this is Jesus, and he is talking during the Sermon on the Mount. Okay? And Jesus says this. And what's the word that's underlined there? When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. Dropping a little bit later. He says, and when you give to the needy. And then in verse 16, he says, and when you what? So there is an understanding. It's not a commandment, but there's an understanding that this is something that happens in the normal part of a Christian walk. As you're seeking God, you're going to have times where you really lean after. So it's not it's a when, not an if. The understanding is you're going to take part in this. You're going to have times where you want to focus on. It's not a command, but rather it's a response to an urging. Have you felt the need to draw closer to God? I'm telling you this, we as a church, we've talked about this in the elders meeting, and I've talked to other pastors all across the United States. And we all, everyone who I speak with, feels this thing down in our spirit that says we need to connect with God. That we need to draw near to God. That we need to draw nearer to God. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Do you feel that resonating in your heart, in your spirit? Well, church family, we feel that this is. Again, it's not a commandment. It's a internal response. It's an urging that we feel from the Spirit to draw closer to God. Now, the second thing about fasting. So fasting isn't God forcing us, but also fasting is not forcing. And this is where I have to say this, because a lot of people have a misconception of prayer and fasting. They think that fasting is somehow where we force God's hand. Fasting is not forcing. In other words, fasting doesn't build up spiritual credit. It's not like we go to the spiritual bank and say, for each day that I don't get on Facebook, you owe me, God. You know what, God? I value you so much that I'm going to go without my lunches for 4 days. And because I've done that, you owe me. Look, that's doctrine in some churches. I mean, you have doctrine in churches that basically says, I've read books and I've listened to teachings in some churches that are basically, you know, oh, it's a power in prayer conference. And then you go and you tune into the conference and it's about how do I get my way? How do I manipulate the Almighty God to do what I want Him to do? That's the largest bunch of hogwash I've ever heard. Prayer is not us manipulating God. Prayer is us getting very real with ourselves. Because I got to tell you, there's a lot of times that I don't think I look very honestly into that mirror because I don't look very deeply. And I'm also, when I look in my mirror, I can't see what the back of my head looks like. It's beautiful. How do I find? I need another set of eyes. I need another set of honest eyes. And what I found, it's times of consecration, times of getting real. It's not always fun. It's not always enjoyable because sometimes the truth hurts. And there's sometimes that God needs to let us know. There are some times that we, our spiritual growth is stunted. If you're recognizing, man, I just haven't grown. You know, I'm kind of the same spiritual person that I was in third grade Sunday school class. I haven't progressed. My prayer life hasn't progressed. My spiritual walk hasn't gotten any deeper. Now, if you're satisfied with just sticking your toe in the water, the shallow, shallow water, I tell you what, I don't think that God just wants us to stay at an arm length relationship. I think he wants and he's calling us. Deep is calling unto deep. So fasting doesn't build up a spiritual credit. And by the way, fasting is also not a formula to get our way. And it's tragic. It's tragic. The immaturity that I read so many different places in so many parts, and so many parts of the church, that kind of approach fasting is this way. Fasting does not force our will. It's not about what we give up. It's not about manipulating God. It's a time, that's why I started with this verse of Joel. Rend your hearts, not your garments. Fasting is something internal that I this is what we're called toward. We're called to not getting our will, but to giving our will. Everybody say giving. Fasting is us giving our will to God. So if fasting is not about what we give up, and if fasting is not this legalistic thing or this us manipulating God, what is it? So here's about the best way that I can communicate this. Third point, fasting creates space. What do you mean it creates space? Not distance from God. It puts in our life, we create space. Because I got to tell you, I've lost track of how many times I've had the conversation with people and they say this, I'm just too busy. I'm too busy. Too busy to have Bible study. I'm too busy to join a small group. Too busy to have an individual devotion time. I'm too busy to spend time with my family spiritually. I'm too busy for all of these things. I'd love to, but I've just got so much on my plate. That's why we push the plate back. Have you ever recognized something? It's space for us to connect with God. That's why it's not focused on what you give up. That's why it's not a time of manipulation. It's a time of connection. Because if you fast without prayer, you're not fasting, you're just going hungry. If you say, well, I'm going to give up my time in social media, and you don't fill that time with God, all you've done is stopped one thing. You haven't filled that time. I mean, Jesus has this conversation about casting out an evil spirit, and then the evil spirit goes and it travels around and then tries to go back. And if that house is empty, he'll just come right back in, maybe grab seven of his buddies. Then you're in a worse position than when you started. Fasting is about this time of we are taking some ground back. We recognize that we have become too cumbered with the cares of the world. So we're going to push some of those cares away and fill that space. Everybody say, fill that space. We're going to fill that space with connecting with God. One of the healthiest things for our young families, one of the healthiest things that you can do at this time is reclaim the dinner table. In other words, put down all devices, shut everything off, and talk. And don't just talk, talk about God. Talk about what it means to walk with God in your family. Well, that's uncomfortable. Good. Exercise is uncomfortable until you begin to do it for a while. Do some God ups. That just sounded weird. So why food? In biblical times, why so many times when there was a fast, was it all about food? Well, I want you to know, food meant something very different in biblical times than it does to us. Okay? In biblical times, it wasn't just like they decided that, that Moses said, yeah, I'm going to go to the Aldi and I'm going to go to the Walmarts and I'm going to load up and then come home. And it wasn't like that. There was time to gather. There was time to harvest. There was time to kill. I mean, it's not like HelloFresh showed up while they were traveling through the wilderness and left their box of pre-made, pre-measured stuff, was there? Food was part of their entire life. It was a big part of their life. Not only in acquiring food, they didn't go to the grocery store. I mean, certainly there were some markets for certain things, but understand, for most individuals, acquiring food and preparing food and getting all those things was in a huge part of their life, a major part of their life, and a large focus of their life. And for us, I think we ask this question: what makes us feel good? What makes you feel good? For some of us, I'm just going to say it, many of us have unhealthy relationships with food. Many people in our society today, and I'm not trying to, you know, go off on some weird psychological tangent, but the truth is, many of us in our culture have a very unhealthy relationship with food. Okay? And this is a time where we begin to look at certain, as to ask the questions of why. Because I got to tell you, I know I'm guilty many times of not even eating because I'm hungry. There are times we eat because we're bored. Well, then why would fasting be important? Why? Many of us have extremely unhealthy relationships with a lot of things. I break up, I have a sad time, and so I immediately get consoled by my good friends Ben and Jerry. Oh, no, I'm more culturally appropriate. Oh, Hagen and Das. There we go. So we can have all kinds of different things, very, very unhealthy relationships that we turn to. And it's honest. Where do we turn? What makes us feel good? Those are some things that we should ask ourselves, some of these questions. Fasting is about creating space. You don't get points for flogging yourself, for torturing yourself. You don't get points for those things, gang. But you do get free when you identify what controls you. And if it is unhealthy, you throw it in the light and you throw that guy off of the throne and you enthrone the one who wants to set your spirit and your soul and your emotions and your body free. That's better than you responded. Maybe I got some amens on the stream. Now I'll have to check that later. So here's some questions for us. For some of us, we could, and I'm saying us because I identify with this. For some of us, we need to grow in our self-control and grow in our self-discipline. And I'm not advocating that you will yourself to a better place, but we believe that we, as a church family and as Christians today, we are being called to draw near to God. So what takes your time? I know that we're all busy. What takes your time? What takes your focus? What takes your energy? Maybe it's time to good spiritual budget. What is it that takes that stuff? Again, certainly in biblical times, the pursuit, the preparation, and the consumption of food was a major part of their life. And for us today, some of us don't have that because we do have the modern conveniences of hopping to the grocery store or having meal and all kinds of different things. But what is it for you? What is your time vampire? And I would say this, for a lot of us today, and I've said this the past several weeks, you're probably getting tired of hearing it. Media, entertainment, social media, the toxic ingesting of politics. I'm going to say that one again. The toxic ingesting of political poison. Guys, at some point, we need to focus on God. I have dear friends who are worshiping at a whole different church right now. And I don't mean a physical church. I mean the altar of something that it's become a whole nother religion. It has. So I think we need to be very, very careful. How can you create space? How can you identify some of those time vampires? Those things for the next time till Holy Week, find ways, a reasonable way to begin to make some space and fill it with seeking God. Fill it with reading His Word. Fill it with some understanding of talking within your family unit as well as by yourself. Fasting is, you see, there's individual fasting and there's corporate fasting. What we're talking about is corporate. So corporately, we want to get together and pray. So find times, regular times, to get out your bubble. Well, I just don't like praying with people. It makes me uncomfortable. Good! I want you to be uncomfortable. And from now until Holy Week, I'm asking you, as one who is called, whom is called to walk with you, if you want to take this journey with us, take this journey together. Intentionally find times to connect and to pray with, pray for. We talked about all different types of prayer last week. So those are some important things. So let's call a time out. And then beware of guilt and legalism. Beware of that. Don't feel guilty. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Certainly there is conviction. So this is a journey that we take together. You're not breaking a commandment. You're just, you choose. Choose you this day. I love that when the children of Israel, they were beginning their journey through the wilderness, and God spoke to Moses. He's like, hey, I want to have this dwelling. I want to have this dwelling that I can, my physical tangible presence can dwell with you, that we can have this tent of meeting, we can come together. And so he collected an offering, and he said, I want you to collect an offering from those who will give it willingly. So there is no guilt. If you decide, I'm just not into this, okay, that's your choice. If you feel inside, you should not be guilted or forced. This is if you want to, I want to draw closer to my church family. I want to draw closer to God. I want to draw closer to my family spiritually. This is a great opportunity. No guilt, no legalism, no condemnation, a whole lot of opportunity. For some of us, literally, this means taking a time where we eliminate the TV and we sit at a table together and talk to God. For some of us, that means that we get up and we get out and we take a walk and we pray in our communities. We find another person and we actually pray with them. Prayer doesn't have, you don't have to, you, one of some of my favorite prayers have been prayer walks with friends or prayer walks with my son, where literally we just walk and we just talk and we don't close our eyes, you know, we just walk and we talk. Lord, we don't know who lives there, God, but we just ask that you would bless them. Oh, Father, we just pray for our community. We pray for this. And you talk and you conversate. You don't have to say these and thous and thuses and thus saith. You don't have to speak King James's. Just talk to God. Welcome Him into your conversation. Got to begin somewhere. Isaiah 58. Let me read this for you. This is a chapter that says, if a lot of people who have headings, it says, true fasting. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice be heard on high. Is such the fast that I chose? A day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? When you call a fast and a day accept, I'm sorry, will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I chose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? And when you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, and the pointing of the finger and the speaking of wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom shall be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose water does not fail. And your ancient ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall rise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach. When we draw near to God, gang, understand this. We become aware of our own sin and our need for a Savior. Fasting is a time of humility, and it's a time of repentance. It's a time for us to declare our need for God. How can you create space? How can you create space? Close your eyes, let's pray.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.